Well, good morning. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to spend our time there this morning as we begin a new series entitled Joy is Our Song. And so the whole idea of this series is going to revolve around the fact that you and I, as followers of Christ, are intended to live joyful lives. There's supposed to be something about us that sort of stands out to the world around us that says there's something different about them. Now, I want to be clear. We've talked about this before, but joy and happiness are not the same thing, right? They're just not. Happiness is a chocolate shake, right? Or it's driving a car fast, or it's riding a motorcycle for 10 hours. Happiness is something that just kind of makes you feel alive, but it doesn't necessarily stick with you the way that joy is supposed to stick with you. Joy is the presence of knowing that God is with you, even when life seems uncertain. Even when the things around you that you're trying to figure out won't line up exactly the way they are, your joy remains because God has given that to you. It's not something you've developed on your own. It's something he gave to you, and that's what you live through. For the follower of Christ, like, our lives are meant to be lived out as songs of joy. Like, we're supposed to be people who walk around knowing that life, even though it's hard, even though it has its moments that don't really make sense, it's meant to be joyful. And you and I are called to live out that joy in a lot of different ways. This week, I want to talk to you about living out that joy as you're being led into the calling you have for your life, okay? That sometimes as you're trying to figure out what that calling is, or you're trying to figure out what's going on, sometimes you feel the weight of it. But what God says is, I'm with you the whole time. There's nothing you have to be afraid of. You can trust me because you've trusted in Jesus. And so today, I want us to talk through this idea of what that looks like. We have a story from the gospel according to Matthew. It's kind of driven by this idea that God gave joy in the most unlikely of ways, but we can learn so much from it. And so I hope that as you leave today, you'll think in terms of, my life is meant to be lived out as a song of joy. Now, I don't mean that you should be breaking into song. You can. Like, that's up to you. But I do think some of you should not. But at any rate, let's pray, and we'll jump in here. Father, I love you, and I thank you for all that you do, and this day is your gift to us. It's a cold day, so thank you. But we would ask more than anything else, you just be in this space with us. For those who may be watching at home, pray that you keep them safe. Pray, Lord, for all those that are enduring this cold in different ways, and pray that our hearts and minds would be settled into the idea of knowing that we as believers need to be attentive, checking on people, especially in this season when it's so cold. But thank you for letting us gather together and to worship today, to receive communion. And I pray that this series, Lord, will honor you for the next 4 weeks, and that it will help us to see that joy in our hearts is a real thing, and that we can live from that if we'll just trust you and see what it is. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so beginning at Matthew chapter 2, this is the kind of continuation of the birth story of Jesus. And so I want to read it to you. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then I want to jump in and talk a little bit about what I think we can find in this text. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. And from you, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.' Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time of the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too.' After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was, and when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So I want to give you a couple of just backdrop things here. Number one, these wise men from the East are coming to visit the newborn Jesus, who's probably between a year and a year and a half old by this time. Okay? We know that because Herod dies somewhere around the ballpark of 4 BC. And so he dies at that time. That means that this window of time has to be somewhere in between that 6 to 7 BC range, and so forth as they arrive. They come from the East, and we don't really know what this means. The word that's translated here as wise men is actually the word magos, which just simply means magi. So you've heard for years probably the gift of the magi or the magi itself and so forth. The magi, this word just simply means a magician, can mean an astronomer, can mean an astrologer. Because in the first century, the two were astronomy and astrology intersected with one another. And so there's some idea for certain that these men are coming from an eastern land. Now, we don't know exactly where. And just so that we're clear, we don't know how many, right? I know that we like to say three wise men and so forth, and that's because they gave three gifts and all that kind of stuff. But we really don't know how many people were in this group. And so they come from the East. They could be connected as far back as the time of Daniel, to be entirely honest, because where they come from is the same place where Daniel and the other three were sort of stationed when they were taken into captivity. And if you'll remember, they were responsible, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all responsible for teaching and for giving instruction. Now, of course, this is hundreds of years removed from them, but their influence was very, very evident. And so it's possible that these guys have come from a distant land, having been influenced by what it was that Daniel and his friends had taught about the Hebrew world. So as they come this way, there's a star that rises. We don't know a lot about the star. We just know that it appears, and ultimately that because it appears, they begin to follow it. Now, some people have argued that it was Jupiter, because at this time we have kind of its range that it was planets were close and so forth. Some people used to think it was Halley's Comet, but time shows us that that's not the case. Really, to be fair, none of this matters, right? Like, if we get caught up in the details of this story, we're going to miss the whole story altogether. Like, I completely forget that this is really not about the Magi. Like, at the end of the day, this whole story is not about them. It just connects them because they're not Jewish. And because they're not Jewish, they're coming to find this Hebrew king who ultimately will be the king of all the world. And that's the heart of the story. But what's beautiful about this story is that most likely the Magi, as we'll refer to them from here on out, traveled for months based on a star in the sky to locate the king of the Jews. Now, when they come into the region of Herod, they don't go directly to Herod. They go find someone and say, hey, what about this king of the Jews? Where's he at? When Herod finds out, Herod, the Bible tells us he is deeply disturbed. The word itself literally means to be turned inside. Because Herod is an incredibly jealous king. And he's also really disgusting. Like, he's a horrible king. Had his own family, some of his own family members killed because he thought they were going to try and take over his role. So you can imagine the thought of another king really made him happy, right? And then there are the priests. The priests are these individuals who should have known these stories were coming, but they missed it altogether. So we have this incredible picture of what takes place as God leads people. And I think one of the most important things to begin with is it's wonderful to figure out the mystery of God's leading. Like, it's wonderful to figure out the mystery of God's leading, what God's wanting you to do in your life. When I became a believer in college, I wasn't really sure what God wanted me to do. Like, I had no sense of it, right? And the only thing around me were kind of a couple of options. You can be a preacher or you can be a missionary. And I didn't know which one I wanted to be, you know? I was just like, I know I need to be doing something. What I knew with great confidence, though, was that God was calling me to proclaim the good news of Jesus in whatever world I was going to go do that in. Like, that was my calling. But for the longest time, I wasn't sure what that was going to look like. And then God began to kind of pull back the curtain and go, okay, look, I think for a while I want to camp you out among other believers and let you pour into them and let them pour into you. And that was so freeing because it kind of gave me the sense of, okay, I know what God's wanting me to do now. I know where I'm supposed to be going. I know what the road ahead of me looks like. You know, when the Magi themselves, that must have been what they felt like. As they're traveling down this road and they're looking for this star and they're wondering, where are we going? What are we doing? So when you look at verses 2 through 7, it says, they come and they say, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, this is important because they are confident that whatever they've seen, this is the King of the Jews. Whatever it is they're looking for, they're looking for the King of the Jews. They saw, as it says, his star rise. Not just any star, not just any perspective, but literally his star. And what does it say they want to do? We've come to worship him. You know, one of the most challenging things that you and I kind of battle with is recognizing that all of our lives are meant to follow his star so that we might worship him. That's what our whole life is about. It's not about who you date, although God blesses us along the way with some, and for others, he blesses you with none. Right? And that's okay. It's great. It's what he does. You know, but then there are other elements to our lives where God just kind of opens doors and we go, God, thank you so much for what you've done and showing me for where you're going. But the ultimate objective I have is I want to be where you're at. I want to worship you. I don't care what my job is. I don't care what car I drive or what my house looks like. I want to first worship you. And I want to make the sacrifice to do that. And these magi, I mean, I have to think in terms of, like, they were traveling for a really long time. Like a really long time. Sometimes when I take my kids to OnQ, which is like 10 minutes away, I want to leave them. Right? Or I want to send them back with the car and I'll just stay. I mean, I don't know. But I know the Magi were traveling for months. And most likely a big caravan of people, not just two or three people walking, like a big caravan of people all through the night with one sole purpose: to follow the star that they might worship the King of the Jews. You know, our lives are really a gift to us if we can see them in those terms. God, what have you laid out in front of me? What is the story of my life? Who are the people you've put on my path all along the way who, if they're doing what they're called to do, are pointing me to worship you? God, what does my life look like? What jobs have I had? What star have I been following that's intended for me to worship you under it? The Magi knew that. They understood that. And it was wonderful to figure out what God's mystery is. But those who did not figure out were, for instance, King Herod, where it says in verse 3, he was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Everyone is definitely a reference to the religious leaders. It's interesting because they were getting a picture of what God's plan was, what his mystery was, and for them, it was not near as exciting. In some ways, it was terrifying. And each of us have kind of been in that place too, where we know God is calling us to go and do something or step out into a conversation, step out into a situation that we know is uncomfortable, and we kind of go, yeah, but I don't want to. I know that you say it's going to be good for me, but I don't want to. Right? I know you say it's going to heal relationships and set me on a great path, but I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I want my life to stay exactly the same way it is. And for many of us, that's the danger. I mean, how many of us get lost in the details instead of just seeking Jesus? Right? Because here's the truth. Like in our lives, we know God is stirring something in our hearts. We know he is. And about that time that he starts to stir it, you and I have this unique privilege that says, I can shut it off or I can lean into it. And for so many of us, it's so much easier just to shut it off. When I know that I need to heal something or I need to step into something and be responsible in that way, but it's so much easier just to be bitter. And so much easier just to hang on to what I have. Because the idea of not having that anymore is more terrifying than what it would look like if God gave me something different. You and I, we miss so many things because we've sought an answer to the wrong question the whole time. Right? Have you ever done that? Where like you were looking for something, but it was the wrong question the whole time. Right? I mean, I've done this working on my car, I can assure you. Right? Like you think, oh, this is what it is. And you get to it and you go, nope, not it at all. But I figured out how to fix this now if it ever breaks. In our lives, it's the same way. And the Magi themselves, they had settled on the fact of, listen, we're going to follow the star. We don't understand everything that's happening. We're completely outside of this circle that it applies to, but we're going to follow the star anyway. And for so many of us, it's incredible to hear that and to know that that's what happens when the mystery of God is revealed to us in some ways. It's also the simple things that God uses to spur us along. Like, there are simple things in our lives that just spur us along. I love this because, again, when you look at it, you realize that Herod missed so much, just like we all would. But in verse 7, it says, Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. So he called them and set them aside. And he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. It's the simple things that just spur us along. When we talk about the joy that we have as believers, it's the simple things that spur us along. For the Magi, it was, okay, we're just going to follow the star. We're going to go follow the star. Yeah? Can you imagine on a road trip just sitting out and going, you know what? Just going to follow the star. Right? How many of you would go along on that trip? Right? Like, not happening. Some of you are wild enough to go, yeah, I'll do that. I'd like to hear that story. But the fact is that they said no, you know. But along the way, it was the small things. It was that star that consistently showed up that kept them going. Why? Because it was his star. You know, God is always moving in our lives. For the Magi, they traveled for months under one premise. We just want to get to where the star is so we can worship him. You know, whoever it was in Jerusalem or in that region or that area, they couldn't see the star, I guess, or they didn't pay attention to the star. It didn't give them any sense of wonder of what it was. But when Herod hears about it, Herod is terrified. And when the priests hear about it, they are as well. They're not sure what to do with this. And I think sometimes we forget that that's what ends up happening in our own lives. You know, God shows up and we go, I don't know if I like that or not. Right? Like, I'm pretty good where I'm at. Right? I'm not a horrible person. So why do I need you in that context? Why do I need a savior? Or other ways, when we know him as savior, but he's saying to us, hey, listen, it's time for you to grow up a little bit more. It's time for you to entrust yourself to me in ways that you haven't up to this point. It's time for you to let go some of the bitterness that's keeping you from growing in your life. It's time for you to recognize that in some ways, things that you're keeping yourself from moving forward with or preventing other people from moving forward too. You know, as a parent, I'm consistently reminded of how much I need to keep growing. Like, my passion has always been share the gospel. So I've always tried to be the kind of dad that was, hey, let's talk about Jesus. And that was in between, why are you still up? Right? That was in between, do you not see the dishes in the sink? Why can you not pick up your socks? After a while, you stop hearing that Jesus is Lord. After a while, you just realize I'm just utility here. I'm just here to get a remote control or a charger for the phone. And you stop proclaiming this good news of Jesus. But what God does every once in a while is he just, along the way, he spurs us. And he says, hey, stop, remember, like, you love these people. Right? Like, you love this life I've given you. You've just kind of lost sense of where you love it. I've given you this joy so that as you move through your life, you can have a sense of purpose and understand that whatever is going on, you have a reason to be happy. You have a reason to be excited. You have a reason to look at the world you live in, even as dark as it is at times, and say, this is still the best place for me to be, excluding the immediate presence of God. Like, I can still say that. And it's an incredible thing because God just keeps spurring us along the way because he constantly shows up. You and I, we just had to keep looking. For the Magi, they just kept looking to the sky. And the star kept showing up. And it wasn't the first time something like that happened. Like, God told Moses, he said, hey, you're going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And you don't know where you're going, just so we're clear. But you can trust me, because during the day there'll be a cloud above you, and at night there'll be fire. Just go where it goes. Like, it wasn't unheard of in the Hebrew world. It was becoming something practiced in the non-Hebrew world. At verse 10, we learn this, that when it comes down to it, that when God moves in our life, we have to celebrate when he comes through for us. We have got to celebrate when God comes through for us. So in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, that being the Magi, they were filled with joy. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. They saw the star and they were filled with joy. When you've been asking God to move in your life, when you've been asking him to pull back the veil a bit and show you, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to move forward in this? And he does, are you filled with joy? Like, that's the whole point of what we read here, even in the Magi. They're filled with joy. Why? Because God has done and been faithful as he had always been. So it says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. I love this. Because all these things we've been talking about, how God spurs us along, God always moves, he's always showing up. This is fully clear in this passage. So the star shows up, they celebrate. They go to where the star is over, then they worship Jesus, which is another act of celebration. And in worshiping him, then they give him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I'd love to tell you that the reason why they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh, because it was a royalty thing, and they gave him this so that his kingship would be acknowledged and the authority of Jesus would show up. I absolutely don't know if that's the case. What I do know is this. Shortly after they give that gift and leave, they're told to go a different route because Herod is going to kill them. And in concert with that decision, Herod wants to kill any child that's born after a certain year of age, which immediately puts Jesus and his family on the run. And they go to Egypt. And do you know how they survive? Most likely on gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That God provided for them even when they didn't even know it was happening. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that's an incredible thing to remember because God does it for us. Scott just mentioned it a moment ago when he talked about having to pay that bill and God shows up in those moments. And some of you go, well, I don't have a story like that. Maybe you do, but you just don't realize it. Maybe because your perception is that God should have moved in this way, but he moved in this way. Instead of paying for my bills, God made sure that somebody brought me meals for the next 3 days. Instead of getting that car repaired, somebody made sure I got to work because they took me for the next week and a half for a month. Sometimes we miss what God's doing because we don't pick up on the way that he works. But what I love about this is the Magi, they celebrated God when he showed up. How did they do that? By being overjoyed, by worshiping him, and then giving so that the work could continue. See, I love this. And sometimes we forget it. But that's what happens when joy is our song. Like, we just live in such a way that goes, God, okay, just use me. However you can use me. Some of you are out there going, well, you can use me, but I certainly don't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, you don't need it. All you need is to be available. That's all you need. God's not looking for all of the things. God needs nothing from us, just so that we're clear. But he sure loves to use us. He sure loves to partner with us. Why? Because it mends a relationship with him, and at the same time, it allows us to mend relationships with other human beings. I love this picture. And so one of the things that I think is an imperative, and I try to always kind of bring it into this place, is if joy is our song, how do we keep that as God is leading? Because sometimes God leads, and it's hard to keep joy. Like, it's hard because, again, we've connected joy with happiness, right? Right? So again, remember, happiness, chocolate shake. So if you want to be happy, go have a chocolate shake. If you want to have joy, get to know Jesus. Right? If you want to be happy, go make all the money in the world. If you want to know what life looks like beyond this world, get to know Jesus. But we all have to figure out how to keep that joy going. So here are some thoughts. Number one, follow the star. Like, ways of keeping joy in God's leading, follow the star. Right? I love this. So many times the challenge that we're faced with is accepting that God is calling us toward him. See, the story in Matthew 2 is not about the Magi. It's about two different kingdoms. One that's dying and one that is coming into power. That's what the story is about. And it represents the unity that people will have under this king that the Magi seek. But you and I still today, that's the challenge that's in front of us. God calls us and moves us, pushes us in a certain direction, and we need to follow his star. And sometimes in our lives, it's not very clear, but I submit to you there are two callings in your life. The first one is to accept that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And then the second one is to take that message to other people. Those are your two callings, right? Now, whatever you do with that second calling, if it means that you become a mechanic who figures out how to change everything in the world, but you can share the gospel in the process, then have at it. If you're an attorney and you look at the world and the world is broken, and you go, here's a way that it can be redeemed and talk to people about Jesus, then go do it. If you're going to be a preacher, be patient with your words. But brag on Jesus as much as you can. Because in the end, that's what this whole thing is we follow the star. We follow who he is and we pin ourselves to that. How many times have we failed to listen because we didn't like what the star pointed us towards? How many times when God was leaning into us and saying, it's time for this, and you're going, I don't care for that direction at all. I don't want to go there. Maybe you and I can have a talk about this, right? How many times have we ignored the star because we were just afraid of where it was pointing towards? And sometimes we get caught up in our uncertainties. Herod and the priests, they missed it completely because they were already caught up in the world they were in. But the Magi just said, we have one sole purpose. We're going to find him and worship him. So what does our life look like if that's what we say our one sole purpose is? I'm going to worship him with my life. Probably means that our bank accounts look different. Probably means our possessions look different. Probably means the way that we treat one another looks different. Because all we're trying to do is honor Jesus with the life that he's given us. And so we're following the star. We have to remember to remain steadfast. Remain steadfast. Can you imagine, again, how long it took for those Magi to get to that star? Like, I've taken road trips with lots of different people that I don't ever want to take again. Ever. But the truth is that these Magi had one specific purpose. For so many of us in our lives, God calls us to something, but we don't commit to that. We don't stand in the gap with that. And so when it gets hard or it doesn't make sense, we bow out. We just do. And some of that's just our nature. Like, we have to come to a place where we go, okay, yeah, that's just kind of who I am. I need to get that fixed. That's not going to work. I need to do something different here. I've been made for something different there. I need to do something different. It's like you have an ongoing terminal disease there. It's, you know, you can figure that thing out. But sometimes it's a matter of, you know, life does get hard, and we think, God, you're not listening. God, you haven't moved. God, you haven't. And our easiest thing to respond to is, I'm going to grab a hold of whatever I have, and I'm just going to hang on to it. Because everything else just doesn't seem to be working. So I'm just going to hang on to this for as long as I can. And in that moment, we stop looking for the star. And we start getting defensive. But the Magi are a great example of that. I think it's important to remember that not all the signs are clear markings. We do need to be careful of distractions. Right? Everybody loves an attaboy. And an accolade, and someone saying, man, you're fantastic. Everyone loves that, and you should be generous in those. I want to be clear with that. Like, we should be generous in those. Well, I don't want to give somebody a big head. Don't worry about it. They already have one. It's not yours to worry about. Just be generous in your kindness and the way that you express love to other people through just compliments and smiles and things that just make them sense that they're valuable. That's all okay. But you and I have to be careful that those don't become distractions, where that's what we're really craving for instead of following the star. Because when you and I stop following the star, then the joy kind of begins to get covered up by all the grief and by all the things that we just can't seem to make sense of. But God is great to us in that he just along the way spurs us and says, okay, come back, come back. Here's the road. You're fine. We got this. We have to remember to stay steadfast. And the last thing that I would say to you is we're trying to figure out this whole idea of keeping your joy and following God's leading is to beware of Herod. Beware of Herod. Like the person of Herod in this story is great because he's a historical figure. It's very true what he did. He was completely disgusting. He was an awful person. God tells the Magi, don't go back that way because he's gonna try and kill you. The Magi at that point could have said, well, are we sure or not? But they've spent months traveling after a star, probably going to follow the vision. But for so many of us, sometimes in our lives when God's calling us towards something, there's a couple of Herods in our life, right? Where they just undermine what God is doing, right? And they constantly pull out the things that we are afraid of or uncertain of, and they sort of build on top of them. Well, you don't want to do that. I mean, you could possibly... You and I have to beware of Herod, and we need to call them out in our lives, you know? Because the truth is that we are called to live in joy and live in hope and live in the promise of what Christ is, and sometimes in our lives, there are those who are so bent on holding on to what they have right here that they cannot see what God is leading them towards. Again, I want to submit to you, sometimes our unwillingness to move forward into the direction God wants us to go keeps others from doing the same. That's a heavy burden to carry, but it's true. And so in many ways, when we hear that, be aware of the Herods. Recognize that they show up. And they're not just people. Sometimes our great enemy is out there just trying to find ways to destroy us, to take our eyes off of the star. So as I mentioned before, my primary calling in life has been to share the gospel, right? And I have found that when I am living in the space of just simply saying, I need you to know that Jesus loves you as you are, not as you should be, because no one is as they should be. I'm not giving you license to live the life you're living. I'm telling you, he loves you right where you are right now. Now, he may want you to be different, but if you can accept that he loves you just as you are, then I promise you what he wants different in your life is so much better than what you have. But it's been my goal, my primary calling, to preach that good news and let people know, because it's the good news that has shaped me. But I've also found that I have other callings in my life too, as I expressed earlier, to share the gospel. The way that we live our lives sort of pours that out. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do, I've always wanted to be a good husband. Like I've always wanted to be that. I watched my bonus dad growing up and I thought he did a pretty good job and I'd like to model that. You know, my mom may think differently, but that's okay, I don't care. That's what I saw. And I thought, man, that's just what I want to be. So I remember being in college, and as God would move, I met Debbie, and she was immediately drawn to me. And so, it was just what it was. And I remember one day sitting in chapel, and we were holding hands, and it was at that moment that I felt in that moment as connected to her as I'd ever felt in my life. And from that moment forward, like every time that we could hold hands that way, I would hold her hand that way. And I've been trying to hold her hand that way for years. And part of being the husband I believe God's called me to be, part of that calling for my life is just to find that way where I could constantly be connected like that. But about 5 years ago, Debbie was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And if you don't know anything about arthritis in that context, like it attacks the joints in such an aggressive way that it swells them to where any holding, any gripping can be very, very painful. And for years, we had held hands just like this, and it became something we weren't going to be able to do. And I found that we were not holding hands as often as what we had been. And I remember sitting on this front pew right here and just hearing the Lord say to me, who told you this is the only way you can hold hands? That's because in the eighth grade, they said that's the only way it works. Doesn't mean that it does. Just shift your hand. And as simple and as easy as that sounds, it allowed me to resume the calling that was heavy on my heart. See, the Herod was the deceiver attacking the body. But the star was the reminder that God always makes a way. So joy in our lives is driven by the fact that you and I, we can say, God, this is my life from you. I get to live it because you've been so good to me. Show me how to do it. Father, I love you and I thank you for all that you do. Your mercy is unyielding, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that you chase us, you pursue us. Our lives, Lord, are unbelievable because you love us so much. And so today, Father, I know that even in this midst of this group, there are some who don't feel that love as deep as they ought to. Father, for them, they haven't seen the star. They don't know how to look for you. They want to worship you, Lord. You built them with a longing to worship you. They can't see that the absence of worshiping you is what's plaguing them. But today I pray that maybe they've caught a glimpse of that star and they recognize that you have gone to the ultimate degree to show them you love them by dying for them. And so maybe today as our prayer partners are coming forward, Lord, you're laying on the hearts of some. They need to correct this. They need to reach out. They need to see you there. There may be some today, Father, that they've stopped seeing you move along the way. The Herods have seeped into their lives, and the joy that they could feel for who they are is just so absent. But Father, what we know is that joy doesn't go away. It just can be buried in under grief. And so maybe today, Father, some need to come and let that grief be completely taken away. Maybe today, Father, that doubt and that uncertainty, that bitterness, maybe today they'll let it be taken away. And you will remind them again of the great joy that is felt when you find them and they find you. And maybe today, Father, we just have people among us, whether they're watching, whether they're here, that they just want to say they love you. And they want to say thank you for the joy that you've given them in the life that they're living, because they know it is a blessing, even with its difficulties. Whatever the need may be, Father, would you meet us here and let us worship you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us? As we prepare for a time of invitation, I just want to stress to you again, maybe today it is. Maybe it sounds so foreign, the idea of looking for the star and so forth. But remember, the whole idea is just to say the Magi knew that they needed to find Jesus. Today, that may be the case for you. And what I want to say to you is, turn around. He's been chasing you. You've been running away. Just turn around. For some of you today, it may be a matter that you're saying, I was there for a while, but I just can't seem to find my way back. Come today and have those burdens taken from you, so you can sense the joy that God has given you in Jesus. And maybe today you just want to come forward and go, you'll never believe how good God is. I want you to hear this too. Whatever it may be, this is your space, and we give it to you. Thank you.